will be our last lesson on the subject of charity, charitable living. And I'll read one verse here. First Corinthians 14 and verse 1. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Now you'll notice he says, follow after charity. Now that ties chapter 13 in with, it continues the thought. Then I want you to go back to chapter 12 for a moment in verse 31. He said, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and I yet show unto you a more excellent way. So he begins to introduce to them that he's going to show them a more excellent way, and the more excellent way is going to be the way of charity. And then he finishes all through chapter 13 and finishes there in chapter 14 and verse 1, where he says, follow after charity. Now, I have said before, and I'll probably say it again, I am sure, that the Bible is written with flow and content. And this happens to be one of those cases where it's rather obvious. You end chapter 12, you go all the way through chapter 13, and you start chapter 14, and it's all basically the same subject. So it's kind of obvious in this one. There was 13 verses that explained the necessity of charity, the nature of charity, and the nurturing of charity. Now we got one more lesson tonight to learn in order that the local church can be edified through love. And that lesson is mentioned right there in verse number 1, where it says, follow after charity. That's the last lesson. Follow. Follow is a common concept in the Bible. It's used about 140 reference times in the New Testament. Like it'll say to follow or following or follow after. And usually, with very few exceptions, it is in relation to our walk with the Lord. Or follow as in following in relation to our relationship to Jesus. So if we've seen already, charity is not something that is natural for you and I. We can't produce it on our own. We are to pursue it. So he says, follow after charity. We're to follow it. We don't produce it, but we do pursue it. And that's what he's talking about here when he says follow. Now we follow after charity. I'll give you three ways that we can try as quick as I can anyway. We follow after charity by following after Jesus. Now the disciples illustrate this. When Jesus began his public ministry, and you read from Matthew chapter 4 just a moment ago, it was with a call of Jesus to a group of men to join him. Now, we've already read Matthew 4. It would have been nice to believe that this was the only time that Jesus would have had to exhort these particular men to follow him. But the truth is, that's not the case. He said, follow me, and then he'll have to exhort them again to follow him, and then there'll come another time when he'll have to exhort these same guys to follow him. And when you study the Bible and the church history, the book of Acts, you learn that these guys became pillars of the churches, apostles who were greatly used of God, but that was the end result of a growing process. There were days that these apostles would take one step forward, two steps back. They would take no steps forward and two steps back. And you would have thought that after 3.5 years of being with Jesus, that would no longer be the case. But he still had to exhort them to follow him. There were times of disappointment. There were times of discouragement. Peter was going to take over half of the disciples, and this is at the very end of the 3.5 years. And he decided, you know what, let's us all go back to our fishing business. That's what he wanted to do, and that's what he had planned on doing. Look at John chapter 21. After a conversation with Peter on the shore, Jesus once again issued a call. He said there in verse 18, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. That was another admonition or exhortation to follow Jesus. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. So two times at the very end of the Lord's ministry, he tells Peter, don't worry about it, you follow me. And Peter, never mind, just follow me. That's what he says. Now, Peter and the rest of these apostles needed another exhortation to get back in line behind the Lord Jesus and follow him. A lot of times in the church, the pastor will say, follow the Lord, follow the Lord, follow the Lord. You know, you're going to hear that throughout your Christian life because we all need to be exhorted from time to time. Just keep following the Lord. You're no different than the apostles. The men that the Lord chose to follow him, they were not educated in what you might call the great classrooms of the day. Instead, they learned from walking from place to place with Jesus. They listened to the master teach and preach. They watched him interact with people. Jesus was actually their school of theology. Following him, you know what it did for these men? It transformed their lives. In Acts chapter 4, it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, two of the apostles, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, evidently they could tell by the way they conducted themselves and spoke, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. You know, that's a tremendous testimony. They looked up there at Peter and John and said, you know, these aren't the most educated guys in the world, but I'm going to tell you something. It's obvious that they have been with Jesus. Now, that's a testimony. The best way to follow after charity is to follow Jesus. Now, why is that the best way? Because when you walk with him, you're experiencing perfect love. Personal association with Jesus transformed a group of uneducated, selfish men who had jockeyed for top rank in the humble servants of the Lord, who became willing to lay down their lives for the gospel. And if we are going to follow after charity, we have got to follow after Jesus. Amen. There's a book I have somewhere, and I don't remember the title of it. But I remember a phrase I read in it. It's just a simple little phrase. It said, follow hard after the Lord. It's one of them guys from like 1902 or something like that, you know. You just follow hard after the Lord. In Matthew 16, Jesus said, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And those who do that, those that are willing to deny themselves and take up their cross and follow him, they come to Christ like that. You know what they are? They are the ones whose lives will be conformed to the image of the Son of God. And then they become charitable in their living. You read in Acts, you see charity on display of the early church. Those who had resources, they gave sacrificially and they gave generously to meet the needs of the others. How did they get so generous? Well, they'd spent time with Jesus. And when you do that, you become like the Lord. Here's a simple little phrase. Little time with Jesus, little like Jesus. Much time with Jesus, much like Jesus. And I'll say this to us, a reminder tonight. It doesn't happen overnight. It's the result of a great commitment. And it's the result of a prolonged fellowship with the Lord. And there will be times when we need to be exhorted to get back in line and to keep following when we slip and when we fall. And if we keep following the Lord, eventually we're going to be conformed to his image. So let me exhort you, follow hard after the Lord. Follow the Lord. In Matthew chapter 4, you read in verse 25, they weren't transformed at the people there. They weren't a group of people, all those from different cities that we listed there and regions. They weren't transformed like the disciples. They only followed for a little while. If you want to live in great love of Christ and display it to others, you've got to keep on walking with him all the way to the end. A lot of people followed Jesus when he gave them food and when he gave them miracles. But when he spake of taking up their cross and following him, they turned it away. Don't turn there, but you'll read in John chapter 6. great multitudes of people. Boy, and he began to teach them some hard lessons. They began to walk away. The people did. Finally, Jesus turned to his disciples and said, what? Will you two also forsake me? Or will you also forsake me? Or something like that. See, tragically, that still happens. And they won't take the exhortation to follow the Lord. Now, why is it? And I was thinking about this today a lot, but I'm not going to spend much time on it. Why is it that when a person supposedly gets saved, I say supposedly, because I'm a firm believer somebody can bow their head and pray, and I don't care if they got tears in their eyes or not, and say, oh, God, forgive me, please save me, and not be saved. I firmly believe that. And I think one of the reasons you can try to exhort them and follow the Lord and they don't do it, I think it's because they're not a true worshiper of God. They're just not a genuine believer. Or they're backslidden and miserable. And if they're not miserable in a backslidden condition, it is hard to convince anybody that they're a genuine believer. Because the author of Hebrews says, sorry, Marty, the author of Hebrews says, he knows what I mean by that, don't you? Whatever. That's what he says. Anyway, I'm not convinced of that, but whatever. The author of Hebrews said, whom the Father loveth, what's he do to him? Chastens him. But if you be without chastisement, you are, you can say the word, it's in the Bible, bastards and not sons. What's a bastard? It's an illegitimate child. That's exactly what it is. You know, if it's a Bible word, it probably wouldn't. I mean, I know it's not a word we use in our everyday language, but in that particular, you guys got warped minds, man. That's your problem out there. But anyway, we are to follow hard after the Lord. Secondly, we follow charity by following that which is good. In 1 Peter 3, it says, and who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? I can answer that question that Peter said right there. You know who will be those that harm us if we follow that which is good today in 2019? Our government. That's who will harm us. You'll think about that. I don't think that's far from the truth. 3 John 11 says, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Now there are two directions in my life and in your life that we choose. And often there are these particular directions involve more than a one-time decision. In fact, you might make this decision today, and then two or three days later, you may have to make the same decision. Will I follow that which is good, or will I follow that which is evil? Do we choose to follow evil, or we will choose to follow good? Now, the answer to that question will determine the level of charity in our lives. Charitable opportunities come to those that are following after good, and they are not following evil. There is an unmistakable connection with your focus in life and your charity or your lack thereof. We are headed in one of those directions toward good or evil. Now, you may not be all the way there yet. You say, well, I see some evil things and participate a little, but I'm not all the way there yet. But let me just tell you something. Nobody stands at the door of evil long. And if you stand there long enough, you know what the door does? It opens. Remember Lot? The Bible says, after Lot had departed from Abraham, he pitched his tent toward Sodom. Well, he wasn't living in Sodom yet, but he constantly was looking after Sodom. And many of you know the rest of the story. Eventually, he moved to Sodom. Pretty soon, he was hobnobbing with the Sodomites. And the next thing you know, the angels came and kind of had to tell him to get out of there. But what an awful thing that was for Lot. He was even seated in the gate. People have innocently started listening to rock and roll and such things. It led them away. I read the story of a young man who was not much of an athlete. He couldn't play basketball very well. He couldn't play football very well. But he could really play golf. And he was quite a good young golfer. And he'd won several tournaments as a young teenager. When he turned 16 years of age, his parents threw him a birthday party, and they, you know, for everybody that was coming to the party, they got the beverages, the drinks. And they got a drink, and I've never even heard of it before, but the author of the article said they bought over to the drink something called near beer. Anybody ever hear of that?
No.
I never heard of that. Anyway, it was a drink that had no alcohol in it, but it had a taste like beer. Now that's following after evil. And then the boy, 16 years old at the time, developed quite a taste for this beer. He liked it. So when he got legal drinking age, guess what he did? Started drinking the real thing, the alcohol. And it was just a short time after that, his parents came home, his mother came home, and found him dead in the bedroom. He got drunk and drowned in his own vomit. He was following after evil, and then if I could say it like this, the evil caught up with him. Now, if we aren't actively seeking good, we very well may end up doing evil. That's a warning. We follow charity when we follow Jesus. We follow charity when we follow that which is good and pure and wholesome. Thirdly, we follow after charity by following those who are following Jesus. The truth of the matter is we need good examples, good role models to follow, those who will encourage you to live charitably. Now, I used to be at one time one of the youngest people in our church, and now I'm getting to be on the other side. But it was normal back when I was a young Christian. Who's your favorite preacher? And everybody had favorite preachers. What's your life verse? And everybody had a life verse. I don't hear the young people talking about their life verse like we used to. My first life verse was Psalm 27. Then I read another passage one day, and I said, you know what? I think it's going to be Exodus chapter 15. I like that song of Moses. And then I finally settled on, a few years later, Philippians chapter 3, 13, and 14. So I've had three life verses, and that's my last one. Oh, Psalm 27 was in there for a while, too. That's a good psalm if you've never read it. So every time your first time you read through these Bibles, you come through these things, like, man, this is awesome. But you don't hear people talking about that anymore. You don't say, this guy's a great, I watch this man or I watch this woman, and they're just godly people. You know what Paul told the early Christians? He said, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. He said, brethren, in Philippians 3:17, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. In 1 Thessalonians, he said, and ye became followers of us. So he didn't say just me there, he said us. And of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. And in 2 Thessalonians, he said, for yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Was Paul arrogant?
No.
Although the first time I read through the New Testament, I kind of thought he was. But Paul was not arrogant. He was a man who knew the pathway of walk. He knew which way to go. He knew why he said what he said. In 2 Corinthians, he said, would to God ye would bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. People rarely grow up. Very rarely do people grow up in an atmosphere of isolation apart from the influence of others. We need people of good influence and demonstrated good behavior and what following Jesus and living charitably looks like, and so we can look at them and see an example of that. And we ought to be that example to others. We need to stay away from evil influence, but we also have to have a good influence, a positive influence. Everybody needs positive ones. One reason that church is so important, fellowship with those who love God and are following him, that's important. Follow after, the two little words there, that's aggressive, intense. It's a passionate word. It means to pursue or to chase. Sometimes it's translated persecuted. Paul said, and I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. Paul was very aggressive before he was converted. He was passionate then. And after he became a believer and was converted to Christ, he maintained that same zeal and passion. The use of this word highlights for us the importance of following after charity. God wants us to understand that if we're going to grow in charity, we've got to pursue this charity thing vigorously. We don't say, well, I'm following Jesus, and I'm following after God, good, and I'm following those who follow after Jesus, and I'm just going to kind of casually do this thing, though. That's not what he's talking about. We are to passionately aggressively follow after charity. It's the same word that Paul used in Philippians 3:14, where he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That was an aggressive thing. It's kind of like an athlete expending all of his efforts and strength to press, to follow after the prize that awaits him at the finish line. During the Summer Olympics, it's the only time I ever watch people run in track. It's not something that's like exciting to me. So I'd rather watch the snowfall, because I'd rather watch that than a lot of things. But anyway, these long distance runners or these long distance swimmers, when they get that last, and I don't know how far it is away, they give it that extra kick. You say, how do they have any kick left after they just ran 1,500 meters or whatever they happen to be running? I don't know where they get it from. But they dig deep down inside themselves, and they've got that little bit extra at the end. That's the kind that we need to have. Just give it a little bit more, a little more aggressive, a little more intense, a little more passionately. Why do we need this kind of push and intensity? Why is it required? Because sometimes you're going to give charity to those who will abuse it. When somebody you love and have given your life to is unthankful and ungrateful, it's easy to be discouraged. Through the years of the ministry, I have noticed, and maybe you notice it because it hurts so much, but some of the people we've helped the most have hurt us the most. It's an awful thing. And when you're generous to others, they misuse what you have given them, it can kind of be hard to keep on. But sometimes those you give to, they turn on you. Sometimes they become your enemy, and you get tempted to quit. And you know what Paul says? Follow after charity. Just keep following after charity. He says, don't quit. Don't give up. Don't follow evil. Don't be selfish. Follow after that which is good. Follow those who are following Jesus. Keep doing the right thing. I want to finish in Galatians 6. Why don't you go ahead and turn there. Regardless of how people respond to your charity, you follow hard after the Lord. You follow hard. You pursue hard charity. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. And let us not be weary in well-doing. Paul would have never wrote that if it wasn't possible for us to do that. We can become weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. We pursue after charity. That's the last lesson. Father, I pray in the name of our Lord that we would be a people who are known for our love, our compassion, love in action, charitable living. May we show it forth. The scriptures also say that we're to show forth the love of the Holy Ghost that's spread abroad in our hearts. And may we do so. God help us. In Jesus' name, amen. I have a few missionary letters. I won't this week, but maybe next week I'll pass them out.